from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, tomorrow we got Bruce Bochy at 10:20 a.m. on a shorter show. And then today, the G-Bag Nation will have Wyatt Langford at 3:40 as we try to cover all things your defending world champion Texas Rangers. And let's stick with that right here if we can. I got something Rangers-specific or across Major League Baseball. I have the almost midseason MLB awards. Do you want to go with that or do you want to go with Rangers to start?
Well, MLB awards.
All right.
Ooh.
Mid-season, almost mid-season MLB awards. Who's been the best player of the half season? You can only pick one.
Aaron Judge over Gunnar Henderson. The best players are all in the American League, by the way. There's really, it's not even, Bobby Witt would be MVP of the National League.
Shohei, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Shohei's a DH. As great as he's doing, he literally does nothing for the other half of the game. And so I just look at it and go, the best players, Juan Soto would win National League MVP right now, but I'll go Aaron Judge over Gunnar Henderson. But there's four guys better than all National League players right now.
Where's your boy right now? Bobby Witt Jr. How's he done?
In MVP voting?
I mean, like fourth?
I think I'd have him fourth. Okay. I'd go Judge, Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, Bobby Witt Jr. That would be my top four players in Major League Baseball.
He didn't do that great against us.
This year in 2024. Yeah.
Didn't do that great against the Rangers, though, Kevin.
That means we're the MVPs.
Yep.
Aaron Judge was voted the best player of the half season by ESPN. Look, it is really tough to argue. At this point, he's on pace for 57 home runs, 142 RBIs with a 300 batting average and an OPS of 1.108. That is insanity.
Yeah, I was just looking at this. That is insanity. Right now, Gunnar Henderson has a 5.6 war and Aaron Judge has a 5.3 war because of playing shortstop and how tremendous he is defensively. But I'm not saying I would pick Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
But I was clicking on stats this year in baseball, I was like, whoa, Gunnar Henderson just barely above in war.
Did we know that dude was going to be like MVP and then maybe another MVP in his career, Aaron Judge? Did we early on?
See, I think that was the hope, right? But where I got a little concerned is I had that because he's been dinged up a little bit here and there. I had that same thought about Giancarlo Stanton. I thought Stanton was just going to dominate baseball, and clearly he's dominated the injured list. And I think that was my concern with Aaron Judge. I wasn't ready to go all in because I was like, it could happen again.
Yeah, at the end of the 21 season, we're just like, gosh, that body structure is just not made for baseball. He should probably be a tight end.
Yes.
It's like, it's great. He's a great baseball player. I'm happy he's playing baseball, but you're just like, As crazy as it sounds, it's probably easier to play tight end at 6'7 and 280 than it is to play baseball because of the torque and everything you're putting on your body swinging a bat at that size. But since then, he had the record-breaking 60-second home run for, I'll say, American League. And then he's now backing it up again after 22 winning the MVP. It looks like he has a great chance to do it again. And then a lot of people in 17 say they should do this, but it's long gone, is they should say Altuve shouldn't be the 2017 MVP.
Oh, okay.
That Aaron Judge finished second. Yeah. And just with the controversy.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That it should have been taken away, kind of like Heisman's or whatever.
Who has been the best pitcher of the almost half season for all of baseball?
Well, I think of two people I think of off the top of my head without looking at stats. Ranger Suarez and Tarek Skubal for Detroit. So Philadelphia and Detroit are the two that come to mind.
Aren't they matching up here soon, or did they match up last night?
I think, or it might have been today. And by the way, one of those is correct.
And you were bringing up, you brought up Crochet earlier.
Crochet is unbelievable for the White Sox. The tough thing is
yeah,
overall,
they play today.
His numbers don't match up with those two guys.
Okay, gotcha.
I'll go with Skubal because I think he has kind of maybe more of that ace material. Suarez is like, whoa, he's not this good, is he? Does that make sense? Where everybody's like with Skubal, no, he's this good. So I'll go with Skubal.
Nate Evaldi.
Ranger Suarez was the correct answer. Damn. But obviously, really Skubal has, there, huh? Well, I mean, look, and I was going to throw this out there. In terms of AL Cy Young hierarchy, they have Skubal as fourth. This is being ESPN behind Tanner Hawktooey, Garrett Crochet, Seth Lugo, and then Tarek Skubal.
There's two people named Hawktooey and Lugo.
I also thought about that.
Are you just spitting right now?
Stop it.
It's just Taylor Houck. But okay. I just wanted to adjust it for, I don't know, last week.
What was his name?
Tanner Houck, with the Red Sox.
I'm looking at stats now. I didn't realize he was having such a good year, but Seth Lugo, 10-2, son of a gun of a sailor.
Best reliever in all of the lands. It's not Mason Miller.
Oh, I was thinking Kirby Yates. I mean, the way you built up this segment.
Edwin Diaz and the sticky stuff.
That's so unfair.
A lot of sticky stuff.
Like, at this point, I think it's unfair to get 10 games.
Why is that?
For a reliever, that's like 4 or 5 appearances. Yeah. I get it for a starter because that's kind of 2 starts, or at least a start and kind of a half because you can start the 11th day. But I'm like, 10 days for a reliever, and from what I now getting to be in the clubhouse and talking to the pitchers, like literally they have to watch how much rosin they put on their hand.
Really?
Yeah. That's how you need to have. Jeez. Like right now, the way that you feel your fingers, that's about what they want it to feel like, which is, I'm going to be honest, that's impossible to throw a baseball, a major league baseball, the way that the lack of seams and everything on those balls are made. That is very tough to throw a baseball with literally no stickiness on your hands at all.
Kevin, what about Emmanuel Clase? I know you wanted to trade for him before the year.
Emmanuel Clase, number one on the list. And this is where it gets kind of interesting after that. Brian Hudson from the Milwaukee Brewers is listed as second. ESPN is just talking about how he is completely anonymous to the public because he doesn't get saves, but he's been unbelievable with holds over his last 42 innings. And then they go, but is he the best? Look, if we're being honest, it's probably Kirby Yates as second. So Emmanuel Clase and then Kirby Yates. And I know we talked about this.
Clase has 24 saves to Yates 11. There's nothing Yates can do about it.
He doesn't have opportunities. Yeah,
absolutely. Because Emmanuel Cleveland's Clase, been awesome.
They have the best record in the American League. I didn't even realize that till today.
56-20, something stats absurd. 54-26.
Like,
yeah, yeah. They're excellent. But I wanted to focus in on Kirby Yates doing what he can in these opportunities. No blown saves. 11 saves. 2 holds. He has made 27 appearances and given up runs 3 times. And every single time it was 1 run, which has led to his 0.99 ERA, a 0.91 whip. And For people who don't know, if you have a whip at one or lower, that's crazy good.
Yeah, has Robertson been just as good as Yates, just different
Not
role?
Just as good. He's had a couple blown.
He had that. I know he had one appearance for sure where he got lit up pretty well.
Yeah.
But you've been pretty, I mean, pretty happy with that. If we, this was a team that was like really doing well, we'd be like, man, we're
those
we're
two guys
pretty.
Have been great. You're not going to be perfect on the year. And Robertson has had a couple of outings where you're like, ah, even he would say, yeah, those are, he's very honest after the games. He's like, that I didn't do my job tonight.
But Yates is like, I think we didn't really know what to expect. He looks like he's right back in his groove of where he's like been at his best.
27.1 innings pitched. 36 strikeouts versus 12 hits. So for every hit he gives up, now you wish the walks would be cut down a little bit, but every hit he gives up, he strikes out three people.
I'll take that.
No, for sure.
I'll take that.
And so I just wanted to throw a little shine his way.
Corey Kluber, though. Because Emmanuel Clase was a Texas Ranger.
Which means,
for one game.
Oh,
we
had only one.
Kluber for one game.
Oh, yeah, we had it for one inning.
One inning!
I was like, I thought Clase pitched a few more games than that for the Rangers.
But I guess the other question is, would he have ever turned into the Clase pitcher he is now if he was stuck with the Rangers?
Okay, you know what? I see what you're doing. I don't mind it. But we have to move on, unfortunately, to another category where another former Ranger might pop up. Who's been the most surprising player in baseball this year?
It's not... No, I know who it is. Let's see if Corey guesses it.
The most surprising player?
Most surprising player in baseball.
And you're saying it's a Ranger?
He hit a home run in Cleveland to start his career off.
A former Ranger.
But a current player in Major League Baseball.
That is true. Or else this would be really confusing.
Former Ranger. Oh, Profar.
Yeah.
Jurickson Profar.
He's leading the National League in outfield votes.
Is he hitting two grand slams every other game?
He is not.
Well,
but halfway through the season, he has 10 home runs and 50 RBIs. He's hitting .317 with an on-base percentage of .409 and an OPS of .888. Just last year, when he was with Colorado, he had a negative 1.7 war. That was last season.
He's the most inconsistent player in the history of baseball, where you're like, he could be the greatest. He's the worst.
It's just, it's kind of infuriating.
I'm just going to tell you this.
He's 31 now.
His numbers are going to go down tremendously in the second half. This is not who he is.
Yeah.
There is not a year he comes anywhere close to these numbers. This isn't him. This is great. He's doing great. All the credit in the world. By the time we get to game 162, he's going to be batting under 300 easily, probably under 280. Maybe he gets to 280. All these numbers are going to get closer to his average. This will be his career year.
Yeah.
But it ain't going to be MVP candidate.
I know it's been a while for both of these players, but it's just agitating when you're like top reliever, former Ranger, most surprising player, former Ranger, most exciting player,
former Ranger.
No.
Oh. I mean, kind is Gunner?
I know. Here's my guess is Ellie De La Cruz is, even though he's not the best player in baseball or considered one of the best, he's so exciting.
Second?
Well, then it's O'Neal Cruz. We're just going with Cruz's.
Hold on.
I don't know. Most exciting?
Somebody in this room loves this player.
Francisco Lindor.
You love Francisco Lindor?
Well, your son.
I thought your kid loved him. Who do you love?
Evan Carter.
Who else do you love that plays baseball that might not be on the Rangers?
Bobby Witt Jr.
Bobby Witt a junior.
He's gaining the love.
Wow.
Comes in.
Still lost to the Rangers this weekend.
That's a good point. That is a great point. As the most exciting player in all of Major League Baseball.
The most exciting player this weekend, Kevin, was Wyatt Langford.
Hell yeah.
He's more exciting than Bobby Witt Jr.
That is great for Bobby Witt Jr. and deservedly so. I guess for some reason I just blanked on him.
Check this out. Speed. He's aggressive, but not too aggressive. Fills out the stat columns with doubles, triples, and the occasional 450-plus foot bomb, all while displaying game-breaking speed on the bases. And the best part, he's just getting started.
I'm with you on that. I think he's going to win an MVP in his career, if not a few.
There were times, Kevin, when I saw him make plays and do things on the field where I was like, good God. You don't realize how fast he is until you see it in real life.
Yes.
Action.
No, I'm with you on that. Most surprising team goes to the Kansas City Royals. Most disappointing team in baseball this year?
Probably the
Astros. I'm hoping it's them over us.
Yeah, let's go with the Astros. I like that.
The Houston Astros!
Even though they've won 5 in a row and they're playing really well right now.
Is correct. And then finally, who is the best team in Major League Baseball?
Philadelphia.
Tennessee.
New York. Baltimore.
They just won the championship.
Hold on.
What a sideswipe. Just 5 lanes of traffic.
You see how caught off guard he was too?
Yeah, that one Tennessee hurt guitars.
That one definitely hurt him.
It's the Yankees, right? It's got to be the Yankees.
The New York Yankees is who ESPN voted as the best team currently in baseball.
Can I just still emotionally say the Dodgers? Considering?
No, I don't care about your emotions now because you just hurt my feelings for no apparent reason.
All right.
And you know what? Now this is going to change how I feel about the next segment. Coming up next, what's it going to take for you to buy in on the 2024 Dallas Cowboys season? I was going to ask Mike not to be sarcastic. Now, who knows?
Totally bought in.
Rocky Top.
We are not. Shut up. We're not even there yet. Oh, my goodness.
Omaha. Home sweet home.
We'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys and probably the further deterioration of my mental health. I have to give my talking doctor an early call. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Second and 10 at the Dallas 43. Howell's back, throws it.
Oh, look out.
Picked off! It's Bland! It's Bland! He's got one man to beat at the 20. He cuts left. He breaks the tackle at the 10. He did it again.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Hopefully you'll give us some of your sweet emotions as we ask the question, what's it going to take for you to buy in on the 2024 Dallas Cowboys season? Now, you know what, Mike? I bet some people are assuming it's about you. It's not just about you. I also find myself struggling to get hype for the Cowboys season. Like, I'm going to watch all the games. I'm going to be invested. I'm not saying I'm not going to pay attention, but I'm also not like as hyped as I normally would be, because I feel like most years you can find a way to convince yourself. That's part of being a fan. Convince yourself that this could be the year. And I'm having a really hard time with that this year. And I'm like, you strip down the roster. You are less talented than you were at this point last year. And I know the Cowboys are like, we're attacking in a different way. And I hope that works. I just am struggling coming up with the enthusiasm for it. Do you think that's fair?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And Kevin, I'll be quite honest, as what a lot of people consider the homer of the show, maybe even homer of the station when it comes to the Cowboys, I'm having a hard time too, being excited about something and going, oh man, I can't wait for this. A lot of times, like even when Tyler Smith was drafted, I was like, man, I think they got some other good pieces, in this draft too. And I think Tyler Smith's going to be really good. Tyler Guyton, I feel like, has a lot of work still to do to polish and become that kind of guy that I think he can be. And then I'm like, the rest of the draft, I was like, dang, it's okay, but I'm not really sure what to think of it yet. There's nothing that just pops. And then, like you said, it didn't feel like they did a whole lot. Now, maybe with Mike Zimmer, everything is different. But I mean, I've seen Mike Zimmer defenses before, and I think they're good and solid and stout. I'm really excited about, you know, the potential for that. But didn't it sound like Micah Parsons, who hadn't even talked to Mike Zimmer yet, wasn't really that interested in how Mike Zimmer was going to help him, but more about how I can help Mike Zimmer?
Yeah.
You know, that was the feeling of, oh, man, we're already having like a guy that doesn't even have a lot of interest in being around this thing.
I did like Micah Parsons' answers to one of the questions about criticism. I like this answer quite a bit. This was on Friday. I got this from Sophia Vesely of the Dallas Morning News. He said at his youth football camp, the criticism is a privilege because sometimes a great standard is not good enough for those who are greater. All right. And he says, when people want things, you have to answer the call. It's not a negative thing. It's the most positive thing people can say because it pushes me and challenges me to be better. It's a great privilege for someone to say, hey, you're great, but you can be greater. And I like that. Obviously, Micah Parsons has talked about how he wants to be in the Hall of Fame of the Hall of Fame. So I did really appreciate his answer to this. I'm not kidding at all. In terms of people like, hey, yeah, you're really good or you're great, but you can do better. I like his appreciation for that.
The other thing, too, is a lot of times Cowboys are spoiled, right? Not the fans.
Cowboys players?
Yeah. The burnout part didn't help anything. And they have everything they need in their facilities, except for walls where they have windows so people can't watch them work out, I guess.
Yes.
But they have everything they could possibly need. And Jerry thinks that all that pizzazz and extra stuff of people watching you, that keeping a mindful eye on you, what you're doing while you're working out, it shouldn't be a distraction. You should be able to overcome that. If you're the best, you should be able to overcome all those things. Why is that a distraction to you? And that being said, if it's a distraction, why are you a Cowboy? Kind of the way that Jerry's thinking. So instead of having the mindset of we are all we have, I feel like because Jerry in the past has given the players everything they need in order to be successful, they're always looking like, we still need this one thing. We still need to add to this thing. And I wonder if Jerry's like, hey, look, we got that. We gave you everything. Now we're going to take everything away and see how you do. And I don't. And it feels like you've just, all as a fan, everything got taken away so far. So for me, it really is going to take beating good teams in the regular season for me to believe they can do it in the playoffs.
Can I ask a question about that first before we continue on with this conversation?
I have to get into the season before I'm really going, okay, here we go.
You go to San Francisco, and it's not an injury-plagued game for the 49ers. You go on the road, and you win that game 30-17. Like, and you control the game. Does that do anything for you, or are you still like, that's awesome, it's still the regular season?
October 27th?
Yes.
You know what? Hosting the Ravens could be a game that could do that for me.
Okay.
Beating the Ravens and hosting them going into San Francisco was a big ordeal. You saw how they flopped last time.
For sure. And the time before that.
So, yeah. And, I mean, even the Browns, the first part of your schedule is tough. Going to Cleveland is not just a cakewalk. But I do think I could start to buy in. If they beat the Ravens at home, I'm like, whoa. All right, that's a team that was really in contention for something last year until their quarterback tried to be something that he wasn't. But going to the 49ers, hosting the Lions, Kevin. I know you just hosted them this year, and it was one of those moments. But those are good teams. That's four good teams in the first, six games of your schedule right there that I think can be a big factor. But again, it's taking to the regular season against big teams for me to even – get in that mindset of it's really go time.
Now, Mike, I have a feeling your perception on this is different. Cowboys opened the season, went on the road against Cleveland. They beat Baltimore at home. They beat Detroit at home. They go on the road and they beat San Francisco and they're just rocking and rolling. Does that have you buy in?
They will play their worst football when it's a playoff game. Whatever the worst game is of the year, don't worry. They will play worse in the playoff game.
So
there's nothing they can go 17-0 in the regular season. I hate saying that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that, but I just, at this point, I think that they could go 17-0 in the regular season.
And that still doesn't guarantee.
I still will believe that they are going to play their worst football in the playoffs. I don't know why, but they will.
Yeah, I understand.
And that's where every fan is right now, right? Well, it doesn't matter. Regular season doesn't matter at all.
If you need an example of that from the 817, I will buy in after they win a playoff game. From the 214, I'll buy in once they make it to the NFC Championship game. So for some people, they're like, playoff game, not good enough. I'll buy in once they get past the spot that they always get stuck at best.
Kevin, is there a sub question within this? Because buy-in feels like a particular level of interest. Like, I wonder, because we've talked about it, there's a level of almost apathy.
Yes.
If that's not the, I mean,
no,
I feel
that
like that's
is the right word.
With this. And I wonder, like, even just interest, talk less of buy-in where you're really believing in it. I do wonder what the bar is for that, because I understand buy-in not being there. But I do wonder, like, are you even going to have a level of interest in this team for a period of time? And what would be the threshold for that?
Look, if we're being really, really honest here, I hope this doesn't get me in trouble by saying this. I wanted the Mavs to win because I wanted the Mavs to win. You know what I'm saying? And I want the Stars to win because I wanted them to win the Stanley Cup. But I also love the fact that we didn't have to manufacture BS Cowboys content, because it just becomes harder and harder. I'm not saying there's not interesting Cowboys content out there, but you don't want to have to force it at a time when, like, let's say they would have made it to the NFC Championship game last year and the path would have worked out for them. You lose to San Francisco by 2 points on the road, and you're like, dang it, we were right there. I would have felt totally different, because I'd have been like, hey, I know they still didn't get to the Super Bowl, but they finally got over the one hump. Things fell their way. We look good in the playoffs. But instead, the exact same thing that happens is what happened. And so you can tell me they're going to go 12-5 again. I'll be like, dope, that's what happened last year, the year before that, the year before that. And it didn't actually end up making a difference in terms of going anywhere in the playoffs. And so I was sad that the Stars and Mavs lost because they lost, but also because obviously you'll talk plenty of Rangers, but there's this big vortex of Cowboys information that you're like, but does it really even matter?
Yeah, there's, you know, Kevin, last year's schedule, we go through this where a win's a win in the regular season, right?
Yeah.
And the coaches are like, you know, certain opponents, it's not any bigger game than the other one. But you're trying to measure yourself and figure out what you actually are. And last year, the Cowboys told us before they got to the playoffs what they were. And it happens consistently during the regular season. That's one of the reasons nobody cares about the regular season. They're like, well, all that's going to matter is the playoffs. And then every time you play one of those opponents that looks like they're going to be a playoff team, you're like, okay, how are we going to do against them? Lost to Miami. Lost to Buffalo. You know, all the ones that you can list off that you're like, those are the good teams to say, am I better than them? And you couldn't say that, and then you got to the playoffs, and that happened. So that's where that earning every step of the way, earning the fans' respect for it along the way, winning those games against big-time opponents, whenever that's when you start to really believe in a team. Okay. And they don't have that swagger. They have confidence, arrogance, if you will, but they don't have the same swagger that you see of great teams when they're in their zone.
I think you make a really great point. And if you look at the post-bye part of the schedule, on the road against San Francisco, I'm not doing all the games, but like there's a lot of big name opponents. Host Philadelphia, host Houston, host Cincinnati, on the road against Philadelphia again. So that's just like five, you would think, although the NFL can be very fickle, big time opponents. Corey, in my mind, if the Cowboys got to 12-5, but in that stretch they went 4-1, I still feel like I'm maybe reverting over to the Mike category of that's great, but are you going to do it in the playoffs? And I hate, I just feel like that's what the Cowboys have told me. That's what you need to watch out for.
This text right here from the 817, I'm taking my daughter to Six Flags on Cowboys Sundays this year until their second playoff game.
Wow.
Like that's the only thing that would really truly scare and maybe shake things up enough is, hold on, I'm not seeing the same. I mean, apathy is the worst thing.
Yes.
Like being upset, hey, at least you're still paying attention.
Yeah.
But apathy is a huge factor when it comes to, oh, you're not doing anything? You're not even hating me right now? That's a big factor there. And if people are going to do that, like that's every Sunday. Sunday is sit down and watch football day, baby. And you know what? Cowboys game is probably 3 o'clock or one of those 7 o'clock games. It's going to be a little bit later, but I start my Sunday. I'm ramping up to Cowboys game. And when people start to say that's a different, they have other plans on Sundays, that changes, man, because for how many years has it been the most important thing to you? And this year yes, just seemed to be one of those year. Where you're like, I can't put myself through that again.
But I think I will.
If that's the outcome.
And that's the thing. I'm saying I'm not excited now because I know this is usually when a lot of Cowboys fans get excited. Like you get to training camp and you're like, hell yeah, this is our year and everything like that.
I'm usually super pumped after the draft.
Yeah, I wasn't pumped after the draft. I'm not pumped now. I'm hoping just the experience of training camp is super duper cool. That will help. I know I'll care once the games start. I just don't know if it'll be as live or die as you have been like with this entire Stars run, this entire Mavs run.
Eric Kendricks didn't pop for you.
Yeah, no.
Because he's an older vet and he's from some other guy's team that, you know, if he's out there making some plays and at camp, are you going to be like, you know what?
I don't think so because honestly, it comes back to this. And that's the weird thing about sports in general is you would rather take like the unknown that could be terrible as opposed to the known that you're like, it's all right. You know, like Dak is a good football player. He's struggled in the playoffs and that's where I default to. That's such a huge part of the team. Micah is an awesome player. He struggles in the playoffs and you've seen that for a couple of years now where he's had a tough time making an impact.
And so you'd be willing to move on from that awesome player because for something else?
Not necessarily.
Because that thing that's awesome still can't get it done?
Yeah, and that's I think that's where my concern is when you talk about those other players and Trayvon Diggs is coming back, and I appreciate all that.
Yeah, he wasn't there last year.
But your offensive leader and your best defensive player have struggled to get it done in the playoffs, and that's what I default to. If everyone else looks amazing, all of a sudden Zeke looks like 2016 again. Man, that would be unbelievable. I think I still fall back to the default of what will everybody do when it really matters?
There are still some names in free agency available, like Stephon Gilmore's and stuff like that still out there. I don't know that there's a signing that the Cowboys can do.
I do not think there's an individual
right now
signing.
I'm like, oh man, I can't wait. You know, now that's going to change my mind about things right now.
Tom Brady.
You know what, Mike?
Oh my God.
You're damn right.
Please, no.
That would change everything. That would. Do you know what the topics, Kevin, would be? Not only is he going to play, these games on Fox.
He's going to call them at the same time.
He's calling them from the field.
Oh, I bet I'm going to go deep.
touchdown!
That would be unbelievable. And I think as the season goes along, to your point, Corey, I think you beat Cleveland to open the season. You beat Baltimore. You beat Detroit, you beat San Francisco, and you're 6-1 after you beat San Francisco. I think I'm there with you. I think I'll be like super pumped up. But in past seasons, I've known. You give me that first win, and I'm going to be like, you're damn right, 17-0 until we lose.
You can't convince me next year, oh, we're building to something.
Yeah.
You're going to have to earn it each game for me throughout the season next year.
Can I play the opposite game?
Sure.
Name the first five games.
It is Cleveland. At Cleveland.
Let's say they lose.
On the road against New Orleans, host New Orleans.
Let's say they win.
Host Baltimore.
Lose.
At New York.
Win.
At Pittsburgh.
Lose. They're 2-3. Where are you at now as a Cowboy fan that wants to be optimistic? And I think they'll be 3-2, by the way. But let's just say it ends up being 2-3 to start the year. Obviously, you're not out of the playoffs at 2-3. Yeah. Where are you at if this thing starts off 2-3 with your Cowboy fandom, if you're coming into this going, I don't know about this team in this year?
Struggling.
I think I get to the point of this is what we knew it would be even sooner. And I hate that, but it's hard to argue. Like you talked about, I can't remember if this is on air or off air, Corey. You said it's hard to win a Cowboys argument right now.
Yeah, it is.
Because people can just go, oh yeah, what about the playoffs?
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can say.
Yeah, what can I do?
Exactly.
You're right. You're right about that.
I hate that because I feel that same way because people are like, we know they're going to lose when it matters. My counterpoint can be like, I hope not, but that's it.
With the Rangers, any argument, don't care, won the damn World Series. With the Mavericks, don't care, just went to the NBA Finals. With the Stars, hey, man, we've been to the Western Conference Finals 2 years in a row. Yeah. I'm still feeling pretty good about this thing. Cowboys, been 30 years.
I will say this year feels like those first 5 to 6 games, the optimistic Cowboy fan wants to be optimistic, but is probably a little bit reserved based off of the last 3 years of making the playoffs and playing like poop when it matters the most.
Yeah.
And then the Cowboy fan that wants to quit but struggles to quit, I think is willing to quit 6 games into this season and go, I'm done. I am spending Sunday with my families. I am going to go to these events. I am going to do something different. I'm not wasting my Sundays on this team this year. And so I do think these first approximate 5 or 6 games, if the Cowboys play under 500, I think there will be a lot of quit in the Cowboy fan base. Not forever. Not for the rest of their lives like I am. But I think for the rest of the season, I think there will be a lot of, I'm done. But I think if they do go 4-2-ish, 4-1.
Keep your ride on that wire.
I think everybody that is kind of like, look, I'm always a Cowboy fan no matter what, but I just don't feel it this year. I think they'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this team is doing it, you know, and they are going to do it. So I do think that there is a lot of people on the fence, but they're willing to jump on either side pretty quickly by October.
That is an intriguing hypothesis. It really is. And I kind of wanted to throw this out there as well from the 469. Come on now, guys. People are going to watch. Let's not talk crazy. It's still football. That's the thing. I'm not saying I'm not going to watch. I'm absolutely going to watch. I'm going to listen to the Cowboys right here on the Fan. Another thing I think would help me, and you guys might be like, who cares? It doesn't make a damn bit of difference.
If the players played more grumpy throughout the year.
I mean, sure.
I'd like them to be more grumpy and agitated.
That motivates me. I wish that it can just be one interview. It doesn't have to be every single week. I wish from Steven or Jerry, because we've tried every variation of every question I can imagine to try to hammer it home, right down to the fact of why don't you fire yourself, or to Corey's point, are you embarrassed? I wish Jerry or Steven would be like, I hear your point. Who cares if we go 12-5, if we S our pants in the playoffs? We're here to win a Super Bowl, not just to be relevant. And it could all be lip service. And I would probably feel better then. It probably is lip service. But every time we get, oh, Steven Jones goes, well, you know, I thought we won 36 games in the last 3 years, but I don't know. And I'm like, that misses the point of organized sports.
That's balancing altogether. A checkbook.
Yes. And I just, if there was even one interview where Jerry Jones says, I'm sick of this BS and I'm tired of talking about how, hey, we went to the divisional round. Great job. I want to win a GD Super Bowl. Yeah. Even something like that, I think, would make me be like, okay.
And I'll watch all the games this year, too. I have to because of this job. But I'm not going to watch really any of them live. I'll either have, because I'm not emotionally connected at all to it. So I don't care what's happening in the game. And when you're not, like, I'm not saying Broadus is or isn't emotionally connected. I don't know. But as a scout, he's really not that emotionally connected. That's why he's like, no, I'm just going to watch the film a whole bunch and see who's doing their job and who's not doing their job. Because, you know, you kind of, as a scout at times, lack a little bit of emotional connectness to the game. You're doing your job. And so I'm like, look, I'll have Ranger games. I'll have my kids' games on Sundays. I'll be like, look, I'm going to that. I'll record it. and I'll watch a play, hit the 30-second fast forward, watch the next play. Like, it's just going to be like, yeah, I have to do this as a job, so I will have an opinion on the game and everything like that, but I'm not emotionally connected to this team at all.
There are so many things just like that from the 940. My interest in the Cowboys has been waning for years now. I just don't care. They've destroyed my interest in the NFL. From the another 940. I'm planning on watching, but I'm not planning my Sundays around the Cowboys anymore. If I'm at home, I'll watch. But if I get opportunities to be entertained elsewhere, I will. And then this from the 682. If DFW radio wasn't your job, would you still tune in to every game? And that's the part that irritates me. I know where you stand on that, Mike. It irritates me because, yes, I would. Because I watched Cowboys games with my mom, and we bonded over that. I watch Cowboys games with Brandon and now with Jess and Noah, and we bond over that. I'm not changing those things because we're not good at this. I probably should, but I'm not.
You know, my kids don't sit down and watch Cowboys games with me. I'm usually pretty alone while I'm watching Cowboys games because Adrian likes to sit there and nap, but the kids don't. You know what they sat down with me for?
What's that?
Rangers World Series.
Yeah.
They sat down with me for the Mavericks in the finals. They sat down with me for the Stars. Like they knew, hey, this is a big moment. And for Cowboys games, they don't have that connection to it. They have connections to these other big moments that are happening in sports right now. But they don't have that connection. So that's what I had too. My excitement level came from being with my family, watching the Cowboys play in big-time playoff games and Super Bowls. And I've lived off that for a long time, and it hasn't been anywhere near the same as that kind of emotion that I got attached to so long ago.
I'm curious to see the vibe at training camp because part of me thinks it's going to be how you usually lay out the cycle, Mike, of Cowboys fandom, where I see all these texts right now, and I see people on Twitch and on the YouTube, and I understand all of that. But then when you get to training camp, it's exactly the same. Or then when you see the ratings or see the stadium or whatever, it's exactly the same. And I wonder if that's the direction it's going to go. But I also see a lot of people, to y'all's points, who are like, beat the good teams in the regular season, and then I'll start to believe. And they're not even asking for playoff success. They're just like, beat those teams in the regular season, and I'll start to get amped.
From the 469, dear Grand Warlock Kevin, what sacrifice is necessary for the Cowboys to win it all this year?
Jerry made a deal, it seems like, in 1995.
I
don't think Kevin can trump that deal.
Oh, it was different.
No.
It was a different type of.
Yeah, all of my teams end up losing right at the end in the NBA Finals, the Western Conference Finals, the last game of the College World Series. So,
who would you sacrifice
for? Has this been a great year of sports for you?
And it has. It has been a great year of sports because, like, Corey, I think you were joking.
But you got to one shining moment.
Yes, that's true. I think you were joking about how Edmonton fans wasted their time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like,
everybody wants to see something awesome happen.
You still got there. I would have totally been fine with the Mavericks losing in game 7 if that meant they would have won 4, 5, and 6 to get you in the mix, because it's that level of tonight could be the night. You know, I thought going into that, the Mavs could win the championship. I thought the Stars could win the championship. And obviously last year, I thought A&M could win the championship. None of those things happened. But don't you love, like, being there till the end of the season?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's a lot more fun.
It hurts more.
It does.
Like, if A&M would have gone to the World Series and gone 1-2 barbecue, which means you lose your first two and you're out, you'd have been like, oh, that's so we made it, but I get it, injuries. But when you win the first game of the World Series, and you're like, we are in the sixth inning, and we are 9 outs away from being the champs of college baseball. Like, it hurts more, but you were in that moment to hurt more.
It's not her fault. And I love my wife to death. These are two of the texts I got afterwards. Shoot. And it was so close at the end. Bummer. And like, that's how probably a lot of people, probably normal people, take those things.
They're not, your wife isn't emotionally connected at all to the team or to the school.
And I was like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to do any, like, I was bummed out. But I was glad you got the opportunity to be there. Instead of getting to the middle of January and being like, whoop. That's what happens every year.
Let me ask you, I don't know, maybe you are. I'm not emotionally connected to the Republicans or the Democrats, but people that are, like, they will kill, steal, cheat, and lie for that for those parties. And it's just like I don't if team. Trump wins, so what? If Biden wins, so what? We're going in a bad place anyways. Like, I don't, it doesn't matter to me so much, but people that are, you know, the political people, they're emotionally connected to the party, or I guess emotionally connected to the person. But I'm like, whatever. Like, oh, like, I don't care. But if, like, say Biden loses or Biden wins, I'll be like, oh, bummer for the person who was sad that he won sad that he lost. Yeah. I'm like, oh, bummer. I don't give a crap. You know?
Interesting points. Interesting points. Well, that got a lot more in depth and went a lot longer than I anticipated. I apologize, Mike. I feel like this is the second time we've infringed on Mike likes.
All right. I have two topics here. One, when was the last time you guys did this? So yesterday I left work and I thought, well, I got to hurry up, man. I got to get over to Bally's and Las Colinas and get ready for this game. And I leave the house at about 4:05, knowing there could be some traffic. I don't want it. Sometimes it takes 20 minutes, 25 minutes to get there. Sometimes it takes 40 minutes with 5 o'clock traffic in our Metroplex. And so I get there and I'm thinking, yeah, I still have plenty of time, but I got there at like 4:35, 4:45, somewhere in that range. And I'm like, all right. And I'm working with Dana Larson and she's awesome. I haven't worked with her in a while and Dana isn't there yet. And I'm like, gosh, Dana's usually here by now, but she gets there about 10 to 15 minutes later, right around 5 o'clock. I'm like, wow, Dana's showing up a little bit later than normal.
Traffic, right?
Yeah. And then, so it's like 5:10, 5:12. This is when we start. We've already talked a little bit, but this is when we start heading in studio and we'll go over the video of what we're going to do in the pregame show to make sure we know what's coming up and how's it going to work and all this stuff. And I'm like, all right. So I'm sitting there at 5:16, at 5:20. I'm like, usually they've checked my audio to make sure that they can hear my microphone well and everything. And Dana's usually in here by now in the studio. And it gets to be 5:24. And I'm like, what the crap is going on? Are we just like going blind here and just like
wrong place?
Let's just do this. And then I look down at my sheet and it says game time, 7 o'clock Central. And I'm like, you SOBs. I thought Milwaukee was Eastern time. I thought the game yesterday, all day yesterday, I thought the game was at 6 p.m. our time because it was 7 p.m. in Milwaukee because I thought Milwaukee was an Eastern time zone. And so at 5:25, everybody was like, we were wondering why you were at the desk all locked in. Like, I had my ears, I had my mic on. I was like locked in, ready to go. And I'm like, what is going on here? We haven't done any prep. We're just going on. And like, I have the run sheet in front of me, but I was like, it's amazing how little we're doing here. And then at 5:25, I realize, oh, we're not going on until 6:30, so I have an hour and 5 minutes. So when was the last time that you really screwed up a possible time zone or time that you were like, you were here? They're like, luckily you're here early. Luckily you didn't think the game was like a West Coast time.
Well, I kind of did this with Lucy when I got her ready a day before the wrong way, so I screwed that one up. But other than that, usually like I do check a lot. It happened a lot when I was younger. It definitely happened a lot more when I was younger. But that one example with Lucy where it was an entire day before, Kevin. I got up, got her dressed, got her ready to rock. It was the wrong day.
Anytime you've messed up a thing like that?
I'm trying to think because I'm kind of obsessed with time, as I'm sure you're well aware.
Did you guys know the game was at 7 o'clock tomorrow the whole time?
Yes.
Why don't you guys let me know?
What am I supposed to do?
We figured you were on it.
Yeah, dude, it's your schedule.
Because your money's on it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
I tell you, this area of Milwaukee, Cleveland, because I played in Ohio. I swear Ohio was Eastern time when I was there.
Well, Ohio is, but Milwaukee is like north of
Wisconsin.
Yes, Wisconsin, north of Illinois. So it's in that same central time zone.
Is Detroit central time? Or is that?
I believe Detroit is Eastern.
It's right on that border. Like when we played like the Iowa Cubs, I was like, what are we in? Are we in East time or Central time?
Yeah. And then there's parts in Arizona where it's a different time in the same state.
So, okay. Next thing. I was going to talk about Willie Mays, but I don't have enough time here. All right, here's another one. Remember, the one thing that I can fix in this world that I know I can is I'm going to go to every hospital that has babies, and I'm going to tell them we're spelling certain names one way and one way only.
We can't do that.
Pick whatever name you want, but the spelling is going to be the same on whatever name. Ryan is going to be spelled R-Y-A-N for the rest of everybody's life. Who in the world in the family of the Hoskins,
Reese Hoskins. I came up with R-H-Y-S,
Reese Hoskins, who that Nimrod hit a grand slam last night. And he's just looking at his name and he's like, who spelt this?
Do you need it to be R-E-E-S-E?
Yep, that's how, okay. I was running the world of names and made sure that we had common spellings, at no point would I ever go, Reese. R-H-Y-S. That is the perfect Reese.
The world of names.
That makes sense to me.
The Department of Common Names.
Again, Mike, I'm very against this.
How is that Reese?
I think this
Why not just spell it Q-U-Z-V? Reese Hoskins.
Pronounced Reese, yeah, absolutely. I've definitely thought, like, is that Rise? I don't know.
I'm very against this still, Mike.
Like, my name is A-B-C-D is how you spell. What's your name, Mike?
Obesity.
It's like,
it's a learning pretty tool. Good.
But it's like, what's the point? What's the point of putting R-H-Y-S and going, that's Reese? No, it's not. It's not.
I need you to come up with a list of the worst spelled names in baseball. Ooh.
I mean, I will say,
Reese has got to be
last night there was a guy who came into relief. Koenig was his last name. But it's K-O-E-N-I-G. How is K-O-E said K?
Tomorrow, Mike, I'm glad you brought this up. We will travel down the last name of Koenig for the most amazing story in baseball history.
Oh, you have something here because I saw your eyes light up when he mentioned the name.
Oh, I got something.
Hey, he was good.
Tomorrow.
It's gonna blow
your freaking mind. It includes showgirls. It includes violence.
With Jesse?
Unbelievable.
Saved by the Bell?
No. What?
You said showgirls?
No, not.
Yeah, you did say showgirls.
Yeah. How many people know that movie?
People our age.
Yeah. It's probably a lot of people.
Younger people that think the Cowboys always stunk at football. They have no clue.
Gina Gershon. Oh, my gosh. I got to go watch the movie.
Her the can
Oh, she's on Martin.
No, it's different.
It's damn. Oh, my God. Coming up next. It's time for the C-Block starring Corey Mason. You thought damn Gina meant Gina Gershon? Never mind. Never mind. The C-Block.
Scotty Scheffler having a historic year also. Do you propose whenever this happens? Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.